Mishnah Yomi, we are learning Mesechas Brachos. We are toward the end of the sixth parak. We're up to Mishnah Vav. Hayu Yoshvim Le'echol, if a group of people sat down to eat, Kol Echad V'Echad Mevarech La'atzmo. So everyone should say their own separate bracha. Shouldn't employ the principle of Shomea Ka'ona, where sometimes we have an idea, we'll see in a moment, that one person can say the bracha on behalf of everyone else. Rather, the Mishnah says that when people sit down to eat, everyone should say their own separate bracha. Everyone should make their own separate hamotzi lechem min aretz. However, hasebo echad mevarach lekulam. But if they're leaning hasebo like we do at the seder, then one person can say the bracha, or perhaps even should say the bracha on behalf of everyone else. The Gemara explains, and the Mefarshim explain here on the Mishnah, that what the Mishnah is referring to is back in the time of the Mishnah, the way people would formally eat a meal together was through haseba, was through leaning. They would actually lean on these benches or on these couches, and that would demonstrate they were formally eating a meal together. However, when they were just sitting upright, like we do today, if they were sitting upright, that would not be, that would not reflect the idea that they were eating together, that they were one unified group. And therefore, when they were sitting and they weren't a unified group, you couldn't have one person fulfill everyone else's obligation and say the bracha on behalf of everyone else. But when they were leaning, when they were unified, one group, then one person could say the bracha on behalf of everyone else. Tosos here on the Gemara immediately points out that nowadays our practice is not to lean, and rather we sit at chairs. And therefore, if you're sitting around the table, sitting on chairs, that would reflect the notion that you're eating a meal together. And in such a situation, one person would say the bracha on behalf of everyone else. The Gemara discusses, and the later Rishonim talk about, does this only apply to hamotzi? Is this hayayin? What about even on if you're eating fruits? Could one person say bor pure eitz on behalf of everyone else? And in the Shulchan Aruch, it's recorded that, in fact, that is the halacha. But practically speaking, the Mishnah Berurah notes that kimigdoma shekeis haminag, that nowadays the custom has developed, pashut berov hamakomo she'emotzi en echad es chavero, that we don't really do this anymore, except for Shabbos and Yontif, when one person says Kiddush, one person says Hamotzi. Otherwise, at almost all other occasions, we don't have one person say the bracha on behalf of everyone else. B'shum dov dvar machal, afshu neged adin, even though, again, the strict halacha seems to be from this Mishnah that one would say the bracha when you're eating together as a group on behalf of everyone else. Why don't we do this nowadays? Suggests the Mishnah Berurah, v'yafshim b'shum she'ina kol b'kiyan liskavein lotzeis lohotzi. That maybe this idea of one person saying the bracha on behalf of everyone else requires kavana on the person saying the bracha to fulfill the obligation for everyone else, and the kavana intent on the people sitting around the table to fulfill their obligation through the bracha that's being recited. We don't, unfortunately, always have proper kavana. The Rama mentions this also in Hilchos Tefillah regarding Shemona Esrei, our lack of kavana. Even as the mission describes, you have a situation where everyone is leaning together. It's one unified meal. But if the wine is brought in the middle of the meal, you wouldn't have one person say Bori Pri Agafen on behalf of everyone else. Why not? So the Gemara explains, and the Bartanura cites, the concern is one of two things. Either that people won't be focused to have proper kavana because they're eating. They're concentrating on the food that they're eating, that they're swallowing, and therefore they won't really pay attention properly to the bracha. Or a medical concern, a concern of just one's safety, chashinan shema yichanek. We're concerned maybe you're going to choke, that you're going to be chewing, and someone's going to say a bari pir agafen, you're going to answer a main food in your mouth. That could not be that might not be be safe, a wise thing to do. And therefore, in such a scenario, if the wine is brought to the table, everyone will say their own separate bracha. La'achra mazon, continues the Mishnah, echa mevarach lekulam. But if wine is brought once the meal concludes, even before they bench, then at that point you've stopped eating, and therefore everyone can pay attention. There's no concern anyone will choke, and therefore one would say the bari pir agafen on behalf of everyone else. V'hu omer ala mugmar, afal pi she'mevinas la mugmar ela la'achar asuda. The Mishnah concludes by saying that the person who said that bracha, who was motzi, fulfill the obligation for everyone else on the wine, would also be given the opportunity to say the special bracha on the mugmar. Mugmar was a spices that was often usually brought at the end of a meal. The Bar Tanura says different opinions exactly when this spices were brought, before they benched, after they benched. The Bar Tanura says it's la'acher berchas hamazon, so they would smell spices. You'd make a bracha of borei atzei b'samim, the special bracha on branches that that give off a pleasant smell. And one person would say the bracha on behalf of everyone else. So who would say that bracha? So it was specifically given to the one who said the bracha on the wine. The notion that since, says the Bar Tanura, kivan shehitzkel bebrachos achrona gormim, since this person began with brachos, let that person have the merit to finish off and to say this last bracha as well. Next Mishnah, Zion. Heviu lefanav maliach betchila upas imo mevarach amaliach apotir asapas, shapas tfeilo lo. This Mishnah is talking about the rules of Iker and Tafel, that when you have two foods that are brought before you, and one food is the main food, and the other one is just to a little bit of an add-on, an extra dish, it sort of goes together with the larger food that you're eating, but you're really eating the two foods together for only one and not for the other. So in such a situation, you don't make two brachas if they're two separate items. One's a shakal, one's a hadama, one's a bori per eitz, one's a hadama. Or see here, even if one's a if one is maybe a shahakal and the other one, or one's a mizonos and one's a hamotzi lechem and aretz, you're always going to make a bracha zeklal kol shu ikar v'imol tefila mevarachal ikar poter esat tefila. You always say the bracha on the ikar, on the main dish, and that will also fulfill the food there that's going to be tafel, that's going to be secondary or subordinate. You don't have to say a bracha on the one that's tafel. And so the Mishnah begins off by saying that even in a situation, a very unusual situation, where you're having bread, but the bread's not the main dish. The main dish is the maliach, which is a salted food. So you would make a bracha on that salted food and not make a bracha on hamotzi. Now immediately the Gemara points out, this is so unusual. Usually that's almost never the case. Usually the bread is always the main dish. So with the case that the Mishnah, very limited case the Mishnah is referring to, was this special fruit, peroski nosar, that came from the northern region in Israel near Tveria, that was so sweet, it was so delicious, that they even put a little bit of salt in the fruit, or maybe after they ate the fruit, to sort of diminish the sweetness. The main reason why you would eat that meal would be for the fruit, not for the bread. In that unique case, the fruit is the main dish, so the bread is tafel, it's not as important, it's secondary. So therefore, in that one particular case, you would actually not say the bracha on the bread, because it was tafel, but you'd say the bracha on the maliach, on that fruit that was with some salt, that was ikar. Again, usually the case is going to be the opposite. Usually you're going to make a bracha on the bread and not on the other food. We'll do one last Mishnah to complete and conclude the perek. Achal te'enim v'anavim v'rimonim b'varach achareyam shalosh brachos divrei Rebbe Gamliel. Gamliel is of the opinion that whenever you eat from the seven species, even fruits such as figs and grapes, and pomegranates, you're going to bench. You're going to bench afterwards, a full berachas hamazon. The chachamim disagree. They say, no, berachas achas main shalosh. You're going to give a bench one bracha, an abridged version, the bracha that we refer nowadays to as al michya, or in this case, al eitz, al priya eitz. You say an abridged version. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about the psukim in the Torah in Parshas Ekev. The requirement to bench is v'achalta v'savato v'irachta. As Hashem l'kechal aretz atova shenasan lach. That's the requirements of benching. It follows the pasuk that talks about tochel balechem, eating bread. And therefore, the Chacham's opinion, you only bench, make a full benching, when you have bread. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, he reads the earlier pasuk. The pasuk right before that talks about Eretz Chita Soro v'Gefen Tina Rimo Eretz Seminut Udvash, the Shiva Saminim, and he equates all those pasukim together. That even on the Shiva Saminim, you're gonna say a full Berachas Hamazon. Chachamim say no, when it mentioned the next pasuk, which is in Perek Ches and Sefer Devarim, and pasuk Tes, it mentions lechem. That's saying no, only the lechem requires a full benching. Rabbi Kiva goes even a step further, and he says afilo achol shelek v'umizono mevarich acharav gimel brachos. Rikiva says, even in, forget the seven species, forget the bread, even if you had some vegetables, cooked vegetables, but that's your meal and that fills you up. Rikiva is of the opinion you actually make a full benching, because the pasuk says, v'achalta v'savata, and you're satiated, you're full. We don't follow Rabbi Kiva, but that was Rabbi Kiva's opinion. And finally, the Mishnah says, Hashosa mayim l'tzamo, one who drinks water because they're thirsty, Omer shakol niyebvaro, makes the bracha shakol. Rabbi Tarfon, Omer bari nefashos rabos. So Rabbi Tarfon says, no, you make a bari nefashos. Now, 2 points, the Gemara notes that this opinion, Hashosa mayim l'tzamo, you drink water because you're thirsty. Why else would you drink water? So the Gemara says, oh, you might drink water, not because you're thirsty. Let's say there's something stuck in your throat. You're just trying to clear your throat. In that case, you wouldn't make a bracha. You're just using the water to clear your throat. No bracha is required. But when you're thirsty, you make a shakal. Rabbi Tarfon says, bori nefashos rabos. And interestingly, the Gemara, in the very last Gemara in this parak, says, you know, bottom line, so what do we do? So the Gemara says, put chazi ma'ama davar. See what people do. See what people practically, what they do. And the Rashi points out, practically, we know that we sort of take both these opinions. Our custom is that we make shahakol niyad bevaro before we drink the water. And Ritarfon, who says, we say, bari nefashos rabos, that we say when after we conclude. That's the bracha achrona when we conclude after finished drinking.